It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Now here he is, the host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal.
A study by Harvard and other researchers not quite so well known has determined that upwards of 4,700 Puerto Ricans have died as a result of the recent hurricanes. The official U.S. government number, 64. Or as Trump would put it, dead on accurate. No, seriously, dead on accurate. Trump presumably has always had a problem with the Constitution finding that brown-skinned people were 3/5 of a white person. 70-1 sounds like a much better ratio, I'm guessing. Anyway, we're always dead on accurate here on Forward Nation Radio, and we think brown-skinned people are like the same as white people. Welcome to Forward Nation Radio with me, David Leventhal, and our show today, tolerance, forgiveness, plans for the future, and our special guest, our guest. But first, I've suffered through a lot, as you all have, through a lot of indignities during the Trump administration. The recurrence of racism, misogyny, lying constantly from the President of the United States, lowering the morals of this country, and, you know, facing possible nuclear Armageddon every day. But there need to be limits. Do I seriously have to become a Philadelphia Eagles fan now? I mean, you gotta draw the line somewhere, right? An Eagles fan? Give me a break. And while we're on the subject, what does it mean that NFL players have become our moral exemplars? In case you haven't heard, because you're living on some foreign planet or something, the Philadelphia Eagles players almost unanimously declined the invitation from President Trump to celebrate their Super Bowl victory. As a result, Trump disinvited them, held his own party without them. I don't know what to make of the fact that we look at NFL players and other sports stars and say, wow, we could learn a lot from them. Hasn't generally been the case. This is the same team that hired Michael Vick to play for them. The guy, in case you're young or still living on another planet, who was involved in dog fighting for a long time. Now, Michael Vick is sitting on his chaise lounge next to one of his surviving pit bulls going, that guy is evil. About President Trump, that's where we've come. Now we've got NFL players teaching us something? Is Tom Brady at home ready to deflate opponents' footballs now? LeBron James goes on TV and says it doesn't matter who wins the NBA Finals. Neither one of us are going to the White House with this guy running it. How far we've come. I'd like to believe that sports stars are becoming more socially responsible, maybe reflecting America as a whole. I hate to believe that the president has defined morals so low that even people who generally have not been on the vanguard of moral leadership are finding this unpalatable. Anyway, he disinvited them to a party that they already said they weren't coming to. Can you do that?
Well, did you hear the thing about the makeup of the crowd that was actually at that party?
I actually did not. I have more to say about this, but I did not hear about the makeup of the crowd.
It's speculated that they're basically all staffers.
That they were all staffers, people who were paid, or since it's Trump staff, maybe not paid,
volunteer,
for free.
It's 2 o'clock, everybody out on the lawn. We're doing photos.
How many were Russian?
They had their backs turned to the camera, of course.
Hard to tell. Yeah, let me just say, if this disinviting thing is a thing, Stephen Colbert You are now no longer invited to my wedding. So you can just go ahead and throw out that invitation, assuming it hasn't biodegraded on its own after all these years anyway. And girls from high school, you are totally not invited to my party. Okay, I have chosen to party just with my staffers, I guess. You're not invited. Are we 2 years old? I mean, seriously, every week there's something new from this White House about the president being a freaking two-year-old. My four-year-old son is probably sitting next to Michael Vick petting his dog going, seriously, this guy's a jackass. We need standards. So Trump, as you've already heard, decided to have a party without them. He had the cool hats, the clown makeup. We got a picture of Donald Trump in everyday wear, I hope to put up right here, okay? That's Trump, he wears that every day. He had the cool hats, the clown makeup. He was honoring US soldiers, of course, honoring America and the people who fought for it. Or as Donald Trump would say, schmucks who didn't know anybody who can get them out of military service. Anyway, he was there honoring the people who couldn't avoid war like he could, and singing God Bless...
something.
God bless, God bless, God bless, God bless, God bless, God bless. My mind is a blank. America! God bless America, that's the song. In case you've somehow missed this, Donald Trump, at his celebration of patriotism in America without those dastardly NFL players, forgot the words to God Bless America. Oh, forgot implied he ever knew them, so that's probably unfair. Showing the same kind of preparation for a big event that Donald Trump has shown for other big events, such as the North Korea summit, coming soon to a theater near you. Anyway, NFL wasn't just in the news with its players making the right moral stand. We, of course, have the NFL making the wrong moral stand regarding players kneeling. Well, it turns out this week we found out a little bit more about why the NFL has such a problem with its players kneeling to oppose police violence against black people. The NFL pays people to kneel. They're called cheerleaders, air quotes, because they're not really cheerleaders. But it turns out they are paid, they're paid basically bupkis, nada. Ooh, I better speak English or someone's gonna yell at me. They're paid almost nothing to dress up as cheerleaders. They're paid about as much as they're given a wardrobe, about nothing. And to host people at NFL games. To which I think Hooters is preparing a statement saying, do those guys have no decency at all? Do they have no respect for women? Seriously? Anyway, speaking of tolerance, the Supreme Court just a day or so ago came out with a decision promoting tolerance of intolerance against the tolerant. Or is it intolerance against the tolerant? I forget. Whatever it is, the Supreme Court came out with a strong opinion in favor of tolerance as long as you are intolerant. In the Masterpiece Cake Shop cake, the decision that many of us have been awaiting for a long time, the Supreme Court, in effect, kind of punted. Both sides were looking for or worried about some wide-ranging decision about people's ability to discriminate against others they don't like on the basis of religion. In other words, it's not okay for me to discriminate against, I don't know, black people. Unless I say my religion tells me to discriminate against black people. Now, if you have a problem with my discrimination, you are intolerant of my religion. Well, the Supreme Court, in the decision of Anthony Kennedy, the so-called moderate conservative in the majority that Charles Grassley wants to resign so that the criminal can replace him with someone more rabid, wrote a decision that was somewhat measured and didn't address the core issue. It was based instead on the particular vagaries of Colorado non-discrimination law, and in more particular, the Colorado Commission designed to enforce that law, where one or two of the commissioners had said, religion has been used in the past as an excuse to hurt others. That ridiculously non-controversial statement, along the lines of, Donald Trump has sometimes not told the truth. That non-controversial statement, religion has been used as an excuse to hurt others, formed the basis of the Supreme Court saying they showed religious bias. Bias against religion. And in fact, against intolerance. And so we have this narrow ruling. And that's why Republicans need to steal more than one Supreme Court justice. If they can get Kennedy to step down and replace him with another rabid apparatchik, someone the Alliance Defending Freedom, who brought this case, would approve of, then the next decision won't be nearly so measured. Still, I guess we've come a long way in this country, because I think for many of us who support the rights of the LGBTQ community, to some extent there was an element of a yawner here. Yes, it's awful. People like Jack Phillips, the cake baker in this case, who didn't want to serve homosexuals, are an affront. But they are increasingly an affront to more and more Americans. And Jack Phillips, you may win in this retrograde United States Supreme Court, but you have lost in public opinion. And there's good news to come out of that. Speaking about public opinion and tolerance, Roseanne. Remember we talked last week about the interesting question with Roseanne Barr's racist comments will be, how does the conservative sphere react to her racism, to her racist taunts? Well, the verdict is in. Conservatives primarily have rushed to the defense of her offense. Proving that the best defense is a good offense, conservatives have attacked everybody else who has a problem with Roseanne Barr. Speaking of rushing to her defense, the President of the United States, faced with blatant racist comments that continue to divide an already divided country, sought to address this rip in the fabric of unity by handing a scissors to the people ripping the fabric. Donald Trump said, the unifier, said, hey, what about me? Where's my apology? I'm the guy who deserves to be apologized to. Have you heard some of the things that people on ABC have said about me? Like, they've called me a liar and stuff. And there's a whole lot to learn from this. One, of course, keep the outrage meter running through 2018. Because that's all the conservatives have got. Keep the outrage meter running. Gail Collins asked on this show a few weeks ago, why do you think it is that conservatives don't do comedy, they just do anger, whereas liberals do comedy? The answer is, as we've said on the show, they just do anger. There's no reason, there's just anger and upset. Keep the BS meter running. They're spying on my campaign. Forget what the Justice Department might find out about me. This is about spies. They're all out to get me. Even some of the conservatives are falling off this bandwagon, though. Maybe there's a chink in the armor there. Keep the BS meter going just as high as the outrage meter. Spies, deep mole in the FBI, deep state, whatever it is, just make shit up. Fox News will have to keep lying for a whole bunch of months more so that the Republicans can maintain, perhaps, Congress. Hopefully that won't happen. It's also an indication of what the GOP has to offer to its voters. And we've said before on this show, if you want to know what the GOP, what its game plan is, just look at what it's accusing the other side of. So when the GOP screams racism, you know that they're thinking about their own racism. Voter fraud, they're thinking about preventing people from voting. Because they not only lack the intellect to come up with good ideas, they lack the creativity to come up with their own ideas. So they're just going to apply the same, whatever they've been called, they'll turn around and call it to others. The GOP has a persecution complex, we are once again reminded. The paranoid style in American politics, the famous Richard Hofstadter book from years ago, is back in vogue, arguing that when you've got nothing to fight for, when you've got no reason, when you've got no argument, you keep people afraid, you keep people angry, you keep them paranoid. And that is the Republican Party, because they don't have arguments here. To equate racist tweets with maybe over-the-top criticisms of something a president has done, to not understand the difference given this country's history and present, well, this again reflects a fundamental difference between liberalism and conservatism in America. Just in class today, I had a conversation with my students about what a liberal is and what a conservative is, at least economically speaking. And I'm talking about the role of government. Do you support government policies, regulations to protect consumers, things like that? But fundamentally, the difference between a liberal and conservative in America, do you believe in reason? Do you believe in facts? Can you analyze? Or can you repeat talking points? And that's what we've seen in the wake of the Roseanne Barr racist comments coming out of the right. We've seen talking points. And yet, let's find a silver lining, because there is a silver lining here. When Roseanne Barr compared black people to apes, does that mean that some conservatives are actually accepting the concept of evolution? Does that mean they might be accepting that some science is real? Could climate change be next? Okay, I'm being a little too optimistic. Anyway, speaking of optimism, the difference between the left and the right, did you hear, and I bet you didn't, congressional Democrats in both the House and the Senate have proposed repealing the Trump Republican tax cut for the top 1% and using the over $100 billion that would be saved by rolling back tax cuts for the top 1% to pay for teachers to use on education. No, you didn't see that? If you want to look that up, you'll find it right under the headline that says, Democrats are going to have to start coming up with something other than hatred of Trump to win the election. It'll be right underneath that, because that's the narrative, and it continues to be the narrative. It was the narrative when Hillary ran for president, and every time she talked about what she wanted to do to help the white working class, she was ignored in favor of Trump's latest bullshit, and then the media wondered why Hillary Clinton doesn't come out with a plan to help the white working class. Well, here Democrats are publicly coming out with a plan that distinguishes them fundamentally from Republicans. How much coverage has this gotten? Democrats are running around America for Congress on healthcare expansion. They've joined Bernie Sanders' effort to get universal health care, or they've at least been fighting to increase enrollment under Medicaid, as Virginia just did under its new Democratic governor, or otherwise expand health care coverage to Americans. And yet the media keeps talking about Democrats having to find something to offer other than they don't like Trump. You better look for other sources of information where you get the truth. If you're watching this show or listening to this show, I guess you've already done at least some of that, and hope you're doing it. It's part of a balanced diet on your part. So David Brooks, our famous leader of false equivalents, had another op-ed in the New York Times this week where he talked about both parties need to move more to the center and they have gone to their extremes. Both parties have gone to extremes. Here we are again, the rise of extremism in America. If one side does it, the other side have to do it. Hitler's bad, so the Jews must be bad too. Trump's bad, so the Democrats must be bad too. Well, that's not the case, as we've argued at length on this show. One political party in this country is insane, one is not. Let's be clear, Mr. Brooks. One political party nominated Hillary Clinton for president. The other political party nominated Donald Trump. Both sides are extreme? Fuck you. Give me a break already. It is one party that is extreme. Even if you look at the rising progressive wing in the Democratic Party, you're going to compare Trump with someone who believes that Americans have a right to health insurance? You're going to compare Trump to a rising movement in the Democratic Party that says we should fund public education, not destroy it? That's two extremes? David Brooks also pointed out that that's where their respective donor bases are. Right. The people all the way on the left are the Democrats' donor base, not the same rich people and corporations that have been funding the Republican Party and that have been making the Democratic Party central. Even if that's true, and let's hope that is true, where Democratic candidates are raising more money, let's be clear. The Republicans raised $30 million 2 weeks ago because some casino magnat piece of shit wrote a check. That's the same as Democrats getting $10 checks from 3 million humans? One billionaire does not equal 3 million humans. And if their donor bases are at the extremes, it's a lonely extreme for the Republicans. It's a very crowded extreme for the Democrats. That will lead, we will talk soon, as we have promised, on the tax cuts. We want to get to our guests, but quickly before we go and have our guests come in, we criticize the president a lot on this show. When he does something right, we are happy to point it out. Well, theoretically, up until now. But now, President Trump has done, there's no flip side of this coin. President Trump has done something right. He has pardoned long ago heavyweight champion Jack Johnson, a black man who was railroaded into prison by a white jury because of his blackness for transporting a woman across state lines, having her a passenger in his car. And his pardon has been long overdue, leading many of us to say, seriously, he hasn't been pardoned already? Why didn't Obama, for instance, pardon him? I wonder if the fact that Republicans, black Republicans, I wonder if that had something to do with Obama's unwillingness or inability to pardon Jack Johnson. Because the Republicans would have risen up and screamed, black guy pardoning a black guy, this is what we warned you about. But anyway, the pardons weren't so solitary from President Trump, unfortunately. He has also pardoned racist piece of garbage Dinesh D'Souza, a right-wing flamethrower and lying sack of garbage. Some time ago, a student in one of my classes said, what about the Clinton Global Initiative and how evil it is? And I said, really, it's evil? Show me some information on that. And he brought in an article from Dinesh D'Souza. And I just started laughing in class. And then I handed out some information about Dinesh D'Souza, who, among other things, was famous for leading the charge that Barack Obama was going to promote anti-colonialist policies because he was getting this from his father, who I believe he'd never met, who was Kenyan. Black, 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 black. The dog whistle days have been with us for a long time. And yes, he's thinking about pardoning Martha Stewart, a billionaire who was willing to steal money from people like me and you. What is the signal? The signal, of course, is whatever scum is out there, I have your back. No problem. Paul Manafort, are you listening? Because Paulie, you're going to need something added to that pardon, apparently, pretty soon. More on that, I hope, next week. In the meantime, we have a special guest here today, and we'd like to introduce him at this point to discuss some of the latest news, including the North Korea summit. The Associate Director of the Honors Business and Liberal Arts Program at Queens College, and someone who has a lot of wisdom from having grown up around me. Stephen Leventhal will be joining us when we come back. Thank you. We're back with our special guest, the Associate Director of the Business and Liberal Arts Program at Queens College, the Co-Associate Director. And since we have a lot of conversations around our office that are sometimes entertaining, like when I'm speaking, we thought that we might share a conversation for a little while on some of the topics of interest for our viewers. So welcome Stephen Leventhal, also happens to be my brother, to Forward Nation Radio.
It's an absolute pleasure to be here, and it's really nice to be in a situation where I might actually get a word in edgewise.
If only it were equally nice for our viewers. Anyway, moving on. Paul Manafort. What do you think? The great or the greatest, as Stephen Colbert would say.
You know,
how's it looking for him?
The best thing I could say about Paul Manafort is he makes my 90-year-old parents look technologically savvy. I mean, this guy, the stupidity, aside from what he did, of literally trying to contact people using the encrypted messages while leaving the clear text up in the cloud is almost Keystone Cop-like. It's beyond stupidity. And I think clearly he's going to jail. I mean, he is going to have his bail revoked. If he does not have his bail revoked, I really don't understand what's going on. I've spoken to three or four different legal people on this, and obviously I watch a lot of television, and everybody seems clear that this judge is not going to take any of this. They're going to revoke his bail, and he's going to spend the next, you know, several months before it goes to trial, and then the length of the trial. So does that give Mueller a better chance to flip him? Who knows? Who knows?
You wonder, we've talked about a lot on the show. You say this is Keystone Cops. I mean, how much of this do you think, and this is just speculating, but, you know, this is the one thing normal people have going for us with this. These guys are, I think, on the one hand, they are so arrogant. They have been so irresponsible their entire lives, so above any accountability, that they just don't ever have to look after their trails. And some of it is, these guys really aren't very bright.
I think you really hit the nail on the head. They've gotten away with this for so long. Donald Trump is 70-some-odd years old. He's been doing this for 50 years, and he's gotten away with it. Paul Manafort has gotten away with it. So they can't understand why they won't get away with it now.
This is what happens when you face accountability for the very first time. And it is insane watching this. It is almost comical if this wasn't actually the United States of America and our freedoms, et cetera, and all this at stake, it would be comical.
Right, it is comical. I mean, let's face it, the comics are having field day with this stuff. And you can imagine what people overseas must look at this and say, you know, this is just insane. But, you know, in the end, you know, Trump's not so stupid. Okay, he signals with all these pardons and the idea of now Blagojevich is going to get a pardon too. I mean, this is just unbelievable. It's a clear signal to everybody, shut your mouth, I'll take care of you.
Someone did an analysis of the crimes that the people he was talking about pardoning have committed, and they are completely analogous to all of the crimes that the people underneath Trump that they've been charged with trying to turn them.
Hey, look, but it can't be so
blatant.
He pardoned a black guy, so all is good. All's
so
good.
Yeah. So I mean, what this is all enabled by his supporters who will accept this.
Yes and no. This is all enabled by a Republican Congress that for years has been putting life into these bigots, into these people who really
deplorables?
Should have no. Yeah, deplorables, great word for them. Where did I hear that?
Yeah.
And now it's sort of, now Frankenstein has created the monster and the monster is running Frankenstein. There's no GOP anymore. You're either with Trump or you're gone.
But that's still the voters. I mean, you're saying they were made what they are by Congress with the help from Fox News and whatever else, but ultimately this is the voters. And Congress, as awful as they are, if the voters weren't supporting this, Congress would be throwing this shithead out.
Yes, absolutely. But, you know, even during the Watergate time, before Nixon became incredibly unpopular, at the end his popularity had dropped. But if you remember, he was very popular during the height of this. There were Republicans in Congress. Now, granted, it was a Democratic Congress, but there were Republicans in Congress who, and when they came out against him early, that changed public opinion.
Well, they didn't come out against him early. They came out against him.
But when they did.
Probably when they started thinking that even the Republican voters are going to turn against this guy when they hear the tapes. When they see what now they're going to be seeing, they're going to turn against this guy.
Okay.
The Republican electorate could not have been that crazy back then.
Well, do we think that there is some bombshell or something that Mueller has that's going to do the same thing? Because as it stands now, you know, can you foresee, even if the Mueller report comes out and shows collusion, shows obstruction of justice, is it going to matter? Is it going to matter? You know, even if we have a Democratic Congress, I'm not even sure he would be impeached then. But certainly, you know, what does he need? 34 Republican votes in the Senate. And he's still here.
But one thing we agree on is, we love you, Trump voters. Just come on board at some point.
Trump voters are never coming on board.
That's been my argument for a long time. But moving on in the last minute or so that we have, we recently were asked a question by a mutual friend who's much more conservative than we are. We are heading in next week to what we're now referring to, what you, our viewers, are referring to as the Batshit Summit. Which is to say, of course, that none of you are referring to it as the Batshit Summit, but none of you are referring to whatever Donald Trump says you're referring to as whatever you refer to anyway. So, but we're now going to call the Batshit Summit between President Trump and North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. And we were asked, what will we give Donald Trump credit if and when they get an agreement and get rid of the North's nuclear weapons?
I think there's absolutely no doubt, because we have Crazy One and Crazy Two meeting, okay? And the idea is here that Crazy Two says to Crazy One, give up all those weapons that you've taken all this hit for over these years, give them up, and after that, we'll do something for you. And we expect that to happen? It's absurd. What sort of agreement are we likely to get? And I say if we actually have a summit, because I'm not convinced they're still going to meet. But if they meet, they're going to have a meeting to say, oh yes, we're going to have a framework for doing something. The North Koreans have never lived up to any agreement. Unlike the Iranians, who actually lived up to the agreement, and we can argue that the Iran deal was not as good as it should have been, but it was probably the best we could get. But nobody says they weren't living up to their side of the agreement.
We didn't have the negotiator-in-chief working on that.
Yeah, there we go. We're going to trust the North Koreans. I mean, the whole idea is so absurd.
A little bit of wishful thinking. Even, I found it remarkable as I thought about the question afterwards, to even sort of pose the question, premises the idea that something good is going to come out of this, Trump's going to make something positive happen, without any indication whatsoever that you should believe such a thing will happen. So first, the wishful thinking, which of course is sort of on the right. Well, you know, if that happens, then we win and ha-ha, we got one on you. It almost was like crowing. Hey, you know, look at this, we're going to win one here. But, you know, you're losing by 50 runs. It's the ninth inning, and you've got a base hit, so you're all excited. Let's assume that there is an agreement.
If there was a real, verifiable agreement that the North would give up their weapons, absolutely, he gets credit. Do I think he's the catalyst of this? No, but he gets credit. If it happens during your watch, you get credit. And I would be the first to give him credit.
But that's a cop-out. He'll get credit. That doesn't mean he deserves credit. In other words, we might have a beautiful day on the day he meets with Kim. Does he get credit for that too? I realize this is a closer call, but I also want to be clear. Do conservatives give Obama credit for the Iran agreement? Do they give Obama credit for the good economy, for avoiding another depression and getting us out of the Great Recession. Why, in other words, facts matter. If you can show me that something that Trump has done has led to this, then let's talk about giving Trump credit. But if a new leadership in South Korea that is much more progressive and very much looking for a rapprochement with the North, and if for whatever reason Kim, with the help of China, has decided that they want to make some kind of agreement, why the hell does Trump get credit for that?
Because it happened during
there.
Because he's there. Okay, and sometimes
at least he hasn't fucked it up.
Right.
Well, there we can agree. Donald Trump should be getting credit for anything that he doesn't screw up while he's in office. That will be a good thing for the
administration. Besides, most of his administration, certainly Mr. Bolton, for him, the idea of success in this thing would be they both walk away from each other and we bomb them the next day. There's success. I mean, so it depends how you define success. But look, if North Korea really gives up its nuclear weapons, I'm happy to give Trump the credit. I don't care who gets the credit. Maybe that's what the difference is between liberals and conservatives. We just want things to be good. You want to take the credit whether you deserve it or not? I don't care.
Maybe we'll find out. That shit crazy works. Anyway, thanks for joining us on today's show. As always, I can't remember what I'm supposed to say. To say goodbye. Like Looking Forward, go to forwardnationradio.com. That's forwardnationradio.com and get the full experience. You'll see the video from this in every episode there and on our YouTube channel as well. Please, 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 if you have not subscribed to our YouTube channel, please do subscribe to our YouTube channel. Don't miss our next podcast on Podbean or on iTunes. If you love what you heard, like us on Facebook, subscribe to our YouTube channel, tell your friends, help us spread the word. Forward Nation Radio, see you next week.
You've been listening to Forward Nation Radio with David Leventhal.